If you could, in summing up the life of Nelson Mandela, what stands out to you?
First of all, that he was truly a nation creator. He did so in a way that even Gandhi was unable fully to carry out in his own lifetime, or George Washington. And let me say briefly why. The apartheid system in South Africa was one of institutionalized racism of a minority that was right there in the country, lording over the politically and economically exploited 80-plus percent who were black Africans. He did a number of things, both while he was in jail as a symbol, and then, more important, once he was out of jail, in becoming this international moral symbol. Let me give you two examples. Early on, after independence, and I'm using independence meaning majority rule, he put on a rugby jacket. And this rugby jacket was one that had on it the Springboks. Well, the rugby team, a white sport that blacks never played. But whites are in South Africa, he said. We should all participate in national sports. Second example, South Africa has a new national anthem since 94, as well as a new flag. But when the flag was changed, new anthem was played, Mandela said, let's play Die Stamme, you know, an Afrikaans word, and that's our national anthem too. And in that way, he provided some reassurance to people who had been in power for a long period and felt so assured racially, economically, politically, that their control would never waver.
How was he able to mobilize his supporters when he was in prison? He didn't have a megaphone. He had no way of communicating, but yet he was able to do so.
He became the symbol outside. There was, first of all, the external ANC, ANC being the African National Congress. The external ANC was raising money, providing publicity, using him as a symbol, because here is this highly educated lawyer sentenced to life imprisonment, barely escaped with his life, by the way, and he's out there breaking rocks. He's in solitary confinement for years, but, you know, his will did not break. So entities, you know, that were involved with human rights, civil rights, African freedom, and so forth, all rallied behind him. And then in South Africa itself, there were very interesting underlying socioeconomic changes. For example, by 1988, the buying power of the black middle class was greater than that of the white minority. And so the business leaders recognized the harm that was coming from the economic sanctions imposed on South Africa because of its apartheid policies. Then Prime Minister de Klerk said, okay, I will negotiate, and okay, Nelson, here's a good deal. We'll let you out of prison, just don't participate in politics. And Mandela just stood firm and said, no, that's not the case. Here I stand, in the words of Martin Luther. And he was not going to be dissuaded until full majority rule was achieved.
Would this change have come without Nelson Mandela?
It would have come, but in a likely a far bloodier, more protracted, and difficult way. In a sense, he helped assist, you know, this birth of a new country by giving it fiber, that strength of character, that symbol. In a sense, the new South Africa is Mandela writ large, in a way as significant, I would say, as George Washington and as Mahatma Gandhi, each of whom are on the currency of their countries.
Would you agree that he found governing South Africa's president to be more of a challenge maybe than he expected, and that he was unable to really find a way to reduce the gap between the rich and the poor in his country?
I think he confronted a political party that had been denied the spoils, if you will, for centuries, and was very hard for others to follow his example. He is a person of this towering intellect, you know, and extraordinary moral character, tested by some interesting upbringing, and not really interested in the executive power, the day-to-day stuff. And there also is, you know, this. There's a lot of inertia built into the old system. The gold mines and the platinum mines and the rest kept on producing, and I think that helped. But economic redistribution, nope. You've got people who want it, but it's not being achieved at the pace in it that the majority wants.
So what is his lasting impact, especially for those who are fighting for freedom across the world today?
That you can fight for freedom by peaceful protests, by your willingness to stand up to bullets from others, that men and women who are examples of peace are every bit as powerful as those who bring swords and cannons. In fact, in this Christmas season, perhaps much more so.
Professor Welch, thank you.
My pleasure, Mark.